Welcome to Parshas HaShavua with Rabbi Gerari. This week's Parsha is Parshas Korach. Of course, the famous story of Korach is the rebellion that Korach led with 250 other people against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and their leadership. Now, we know that in reading the story, there's a lot of different angles and a lot of different details that seems to be catalysts for his rebellion from all different sort of perspectives. There's the concept that Rashi told us that it was brought about by jealousy because his cousin Elitzofan ben Uziel was appointed the leader of the tribe of Levi, and he felt he should have been appointed because, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron became the leader and the Kohen, so he thought that the next son's children, which included him, should be the leader of the tribe of Levi. There's other concepts about Kabbalistically, there's many deep ideas. It's describing Korach as actually quite a deep thinker and someone understood the deeper workings of creation, and that sort of, not to go into it now, but that sort of brought about a whole expression of his rebellion. Leadership, he felt, kula edo kulam kadoshim, perhaps everyone is equal, we don't need leaders. Lots of different explanations. However, on the ground, practically, what did he want and what did he do? So we find that practically he challenged the leadership of Aaron, the Kohen, and he wanted to be a Kohen Gadol. Just like Aaron is a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, and just like Aaron is the only one who can go into Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Holy of Holies and bring Ketores and bring incense and so on, so too, Korach wanted to be a Kohen Gadol. In fact, they all wanted to be Kohanim Gadolim. And really, he challenged the concept of roles, that certain people have roles that others don't have. Now, in Judaism, of course, we know that roles are important. A Kohen is not a Levi is not a Kohen. There are certain mitzvahs for men, there are certain mitzvahs for women, and so on and so forth. And that's the way Hashem structured the world. So this plays out, because this is why Moshe Rabbeinu told him, okay, you want to be a Kohen Gadol, so let's experiment. Boiker, tomorrow morning, you and all the 250 people should take pans, machtois, as they're called in the Chumash, pans, put coals in them, and then go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, go into the Holy Holies, and offer up Ketores, and we'll see. And we'll see who Hashem chooses. And of course, as we know, they all perished. But it's in this psukim is hinted the whole practical rebellion of Korach, because why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell him to wait till the next morning, boiker? The next morning, as Rashi explains, that Moshe Rabbeinu was communicating to them that no, there are roles in this world. Just like, for example, there's daytime and there's nighttime. There's a time when the sun operates, there's a time when the moon operates, and so on. So too, the structure of Am Yisrael is also, there's different people do different things, and you can't just become a Kohen Gadol. Okay. The question, however, on this parasha is the following. The Torah paints Korach quite negatively. And in fact, afterwards we have a mitzvah in the Torah, a negative commandment. Do not be like Korach and his men and his congregation. We have an issur, we have a prohibition to fan the flames of a machlokes, of division, of conflict. And when one does that, one is analogous to Korach and one is transgressing an avera, like being compared and being similar to Korach. So if Korach is painted that negatively, how come we find that the entire parsha's name is Korach? Now, of course, it could have been, you know, the word Korach is near the beginning, but we have a principle that at the end of the day, when something is called by a name of something, that's exact, and that means something. I mean, it could have been called Vayikach, maybe, or it could have called a different name. But why does the parsha, why is the minhag to call the entire parsha Korach, where Korach is such a negative force? And seemingly, he was a negative person. So I want to share with you, initially, a word, an idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I dedicate this to Gimel Tammuz, which is this week. This Thursday is the 3rd of Tammuz, which is the 29th Yahrzeit of the Rebbe. And he says a very fascinating idea, which is a very foundational idea. He says like this, we find that Rashi mentions, when Rashi interprets the word boiker, in other words, he interprets what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Korach, and the conversation is very brief in the Psukim, and Rashi brings the Midrashim that expand on what Moshe Rabbeinu actually said to Korach. We find that Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Korach, you can't be a Kohen Gadol. Af ani writes Elias Kohen Gadol. I also want to be a Kohen Gadol. That's an interesting revelation. Moshe Rabbeinu says about himself, he also wants to be a Kohen Gadol. But he can't, because Hashem appointed only one Kohen Gadol, and that's Aaron HaKohen. Why is it necessary to bring that in? What was the point of that? And he explains the following. He says, what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Korach is, your essential ambition is not bad. The aspiration to be holy, the aspiration to be like a holy person, the aspiration even to be a Kohen Gadol, is in fact not bad. Ambition in spirituality is a good thing. However, it needs to come with a certain limitation. We need to be aware of what we can and can't achieve. So the wanting to be a Kohen Gadol is actually a very good thing. However, you also need to know that this time there are hagbalos, there are limitations around that ambition, and therefore in practice you can't be like a Kohen Gadol. So the Rebbe explains that that's why Korach is called Korach, to teach us that the essence of what Korach wanted is not bad. In fact, not only is it not bad, but it's a good thing. And it's a thing that we should learn from. We should all strive higher in spirituality. We should also have the humility to know when we can and can't achieve it. Ambition in spirituality is a very important thing. We know there's a famous verse. This is not brought in the same talk, but there's a famous idea that is also quoted by the Rebbe many times, that we say every day that Hashem is Bashamayim Mimal, in the heaven above, Val Oretz Mitochas, in the land below. So there's a very interesting Hasidic interpretation of that phrase that says like this: there are two parts of our life. There's Shomayim, heaven, and Oretz, earth. In other words, spiritual things like Shomayim, like heaven, and then the physical things like Oretz. When it comes Bashomayim, when it comes to heaven, Mimal, above, meaning look to someone who has more than you and aspire to be like them. Be jealous, even, meaning jealous in a healthy way, of the spiritual heights someone else has achieved and aspire to be like that. But when it comes to the physical, mitochas, look below, look at someone that's less than you and be satisfied with what you have, as the Pirkei Avos tells us, Ezehu Ashir, who's a rich person, hasomeach b'chelko, is someone who is happy with their lot. So same idea, spiritual ambition is a good thing. Not that physical ambition can also be a good thing in a healthy way if it's to achieve things, but generally speaking, in the physical we should be happy with what we have. But in the spiritual realm particularly, we should want to be like those who are higher than us. But we also have to know the limitations when we could implement it in its literal sense or not. We can aspire to be like the holiness of a Kohen Gadol, but we can't actually be a Kohen Gadol. This was what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Afani, I also want to be a Kohen Gadol, but I can't. You can't, so you have to give this up. But Korach didn't listen, and that was his downfall. But spiritual ambition in itself is healthy and good, and that's why the parsha is called Korach. I want to connect this with a beautiful idea, and I think it comes, if I remember correctly, it comes from the Aptarov, who also observes something very interesting in the Torah, in the parsha a little bit later on. The punishment of Korach and his family, they were swallowed up in the earth, but the 250 men were burnt. Then there comes a very interesting instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu that says the following. Take the machtois, take the pans that were used for this failed experiment to bring ketores, to bring incense in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the holy place where they weren't allowed to go. Melt them down, says Hashem, and create a covering for the Mizbeach, a covering for the altar. Now the altar in the Midbar was Mizbeach, Adomo was made out of earth actually, but then it was covered by this copper covering made out of the machtos, out of the pans of Korach and his men. So the question is, the pans taken from people who sinned, the pans taken from people who made a mistake and led a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, that should become the cover of the holy altar? That should become the cover of the holy Mizbeach? But the explanation is the following. When it goes on the Mizbeach, it becomes very good. Why? So what do the pans represent? The pans represent the ambition of those people. The ambition to be holy, the ambition to be like a Kohen Gadol. As we said before, the ambition itself is positive. However, Ambition is really great, particularly in the world of the spiritual, when it's balanced by humility, of knowing our limitation, knowing when we need to stop, knowing when we cannot go the route that we want to go because Hashem doesn't want it. Korach and his men had ambition, which was a good ambition, but they lacked humility to know when to stop. The machtois, the pans themselves, is the ambition. The mizbeach, the altar, which is made out of earth. Earth is always a symbol of humility. So therefore, says Hashem, take the pans. The pans are essentially good, but they lack the humility. And where should you put them? On top of the mizbeach adom, on top of the earthenware mizbeach, which is a symbol of humility because of the earth. And put them on top of the mizbeach because the combination of those pans and the humility of the mizbeach is wonderful. It is the right way to go. Ambition is good. Do not throw it away. Do not discard it. But it needs to be placed on top of the earth because it needs to be in context and together with the humility. And then the ambition is always holy. And then the ambition leads to great things and great heights. Thank you for listening and have a great week and a good Shabbos.